And he doesn't use a wheel, he just builds up his pots. And it's very, I think it's quite well known actually. I actually had a look at the website and all that. And he said he finds like breath concentration meditation very easy. Piece of cake, no problem. And so I was thinking, like, what does someone like a potter do? They engage the material. It's just not kind of passively, well, you know, kind of, and they get their hands in the material and so it's the material. And he does a lot of meditation. And he says he does like a 3 month retreat on his own. He's got a place in the desert. And he'll more recently he's been doing like an hour potting and an hour meditation. Hour potting, hour meditation. And after a while the potting gets too coarse and he just meditates through. But just talking to him, he said concentration was always very easy for him. He was always a good drawer, could draw very well. But just think about like how any craft, you know, you have to engage the material somehow. You have to be in touch with it and be with it. And sometimes, you know, I think the instructions in meditation and breath meditation can sound very like, don't just let the breath be what it is. Well, maybe eventually, yeah, okay, but somehow you have to get into the body. So if the thinking processes are much more attractive than the body, then you have to make the body more obvious, more coarse, as we could say. Or you just think about this beautiful meal that was set out for us today, generous and beautifully laid out, and you just think about that fruit salad. You know, all the colors there, and there's beautifully done. And that doesn't happen by just dropping the orange on the plate. It happens by cutting the fruit, engaging the fruit, thinking of the color, laying it out. And so if you think maybe like I don't know, I've never really painted, but let's say we've been talking about painting because we're gonna Anne's gonna frame that for us, a beautiful painting, but. Imagine like if you're doing a painting, first of all, I guess you have to get some wood to make a frame. You have to stretch the canvas. You must put some kind of primer on, I suppose, to get it rolling. Some base paint. Outline some forms, and then you get more and maybe more and more refined, fill in the details. So you can see maybe there's a progression from like coarseness, obviousness, to refinement. And so I think that breath meditation can be analogous to that, that you just to get into the body sometimes to do something really obvious is very important because your mind wants to go off through its habits into worry or thinking, then just this simple exercise I did just now and do that for a long time. And you'll see that as soon as the breath gets shallow, your thinking, you start to associate the two. And then as you let the breath be the more dominant theme, that becomes the more dominant theme than you're worrying or whatever, then there's a refinement that comes from that. It comes quite naturally because you're now with the clay, as it were. And then being quite willing to play around with it, like make it deep, make it shallow, make it long, make it fast, like, you know, you're playing around with the breath. And then through that kind of experimenting, your intuition shows you what works. You don't have to figure out intellectually. In fact, try to figure out intellectually, just start thinking. You're doubting, usually. Doubting. So you engage the breathing, like maybe a potter engages the clay. And then you start to use language like that, you know, just delicacy or gentleness or more vigor or, you know, whatever language you want to use. And until, because then you are actually engaged with the breath, your mind settles on the breath. And then the refinements come, and then you get those kind of situations where the body's breathing itself, as it were, you get that. But to kind of do that right from the beginning, I think it doesn't work. Unless, you know, oftentimes it doesn't work. And why doesn't it work? I think because we're too passive, I think perhaps. That's it, too passive. So don't be afraid to kind of pick up the material of the body, work with it, knock about with it. experiment with it. So they were like strong intention. You know what the object is. You're becoming. You know, it's a visceral experience rather than an intellectual experience. It's really visceral. It's in the body. You're feeling the whole body breathe, maybe. And you maybe like I emphasize hands and eyes. It gets tight because you're kind of looking for something. I think also a lot of teachers emphasize narrowness, emphasize broadness as opposed to narrowness. You get this kind of broad sense, like pranayama or yoga, the whole body breathing, those kinds of ideas. And so you're quite active in this. You're not too passive. And then from that you certainly get refinements and subtleties, etc., etc. But you need to kind of really get in the game first. All right. So the same with maybe walking, you know, walking meditation, or get into your body, feel the body, feel the crunch of the ground, and or feel the cold of the air, and really engage the body that way. Like even just like first few rounds, stretch your legs more. And when you stop, maybe do a stretch at the end, then turn around. So you're, because it's so easy just to become kind of automatic, isn't it? You just walk back and forth and think about home, mm-hmm. right? So you do 20 loops before you know you're there. So use the ends of the path and be quite physical. It's very, very good. Feel the body, feel the knees stretching, like yoga. And then from that, you get a cut, you know, you get more refinement and subtlety coming. If you get some really, you know, obsessive mindset or something really strong coming, stop. Just stop walking and, okay, what is it? What are you? Let it come. Be there. And then continue walking. Right?